The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Hello there. Back on track after an off day. Brewers win the opener against the Nationals 8-3. Ton of contributions up and down the lineup. The headline today, of course, was Frankie Montas making his Brewers debut. We'll break down his start. We'll talk a little bit about the bullpen usage today, but let's just go ahead and jump at the very beginning here and give you the scoreboard watching. It is August. We are looking around every single night now for the rest of the year. It's that time of year. Earlier today, the Cubs beat the Cardinals again, spoiling Eric Fetty's debut as a Cardinal. Cubs won that one by a 6-3 final. And shortly after the Brewers went final today, the Diamondbacks held on to beat the Pirates in what was one of the wackiest games of the year, a 9-8 final for the Diamondbacks. That game started with a Little League home run by Corbin Carroll, followed by three consecutive homers. Ketel Marte, Jock Peterson, and Josh Bell all going yard. So 15 total bases in the first four batters, a maximum of 16, the most total bases ever in a game. But they blew that lead. Pirates had come back, then the Diamondbacks. But anyway, the Brewers gained a game on both the Cardinals and the Pirates today. The Brewers are now 62-47. They're 6.5 games clear of both Pittsburgh and St. Louis. As for today's game, Frankie Montas is the story. To me, we'll talk about the offense as well. Everybody reached base for the crew today, and almost everybody scored a run. Only Terang and Churio didn't score a run, but they still drove in a run for the crew. Anyone who didn't score a run at least drove in a run today. A well-balanced effort. 8 runs on 11 hits for the Nats. 3 runs on 10 hits. Frankie, it's a weird line because it doesn't tell you the whole story. 5 plus innings. He faced 2 batters in the 6, gave up 2 more singles. 9 hits, 3 runs, all earned, no walks, 5 strikeouts, and 1 home run. Now, the 9 hits is a little misleading. Of the 9 hits, 7 of them were singles. And 1 homer, the C.J. Abrams shot that made it a 1-run game, and 1 bloop double. There was a lot of loud contact, but singles, a lot like solo homers, aren't generally going to kill you. And I thought Montas wasn't afraid to pitch the contact. I thought he handled his splitter usage very well. He varied the use of the splitter to be both throwing it for a strike and throwing it for chase. And we saw a lot of the same where they were laying off the ones below the zone. He only got 1 whiff on the splitter today. In fact, in total, this is something a little odd to me. He only had 4 whiffs today of all of his pitches, period. 4 total whiffs, 2 on the four-seamer, 1 on the splitter, and 1 on the cutter. He threw 35% fastballs, which is pretty much, well, more like 60% fastballs when you include the sinker in there. The cutter is technically a fastball, but it doesn't behave like a regular fastball for him. Still, a lot of heaters. Did not incorporate the slider that much. He only threw 4 sliders, probably doesn't have a lot of confidence in that pitch. But I was really impressed with the heater, and specifically with the velocity on the heater. Given he came into the game averaging about 95, 96 miles an hour on the heater, which is still very, very good. But ever since his shoulder surgery and he hasn't thrown a ton of innings the last couple of seasons, he's lost a tick or two on the fastball. And now suddenly he comes out here, adrenaline coursing through his veins. He averaged 97 miles an hour flat on his four-seam fastball today. That's not including sinkers. He actually had a sinker that he threw 98 miles an hour today as well, with a little bit of two-seed ride. I tweeted this earlier as well, this note about his velo today, that Montas, in his entire season with the Reds, had 50 pitches, 50 total pitches, that were 97.0 or above for his velo this season. Today, that number went way up to 19 just today. So roughly 40% of his season total, he was able to accumulate today of throwing high velo pitches of 97 miles an hour or harder. He even touched 99 today, which tied for his fastest pitch of the year. So imagine when he comes back home, I imagine his next start for the Brewers could be next Thursday against the Atlanta Braves, which means he would likely be lined up then to face the Dodgers when the Brewers come back home the following week. I really liked what I saw from Frankie. I really did. I see building blocks there. The contact I thought was an anomaly. A young team swinging a lot. I mean, a lot of foul balls today, too. A lot of swings. There were a couple of pitches that I thought Frankie would like to have back. Specifically, of course, the home run to C.J. Abrams. The cutter is just not a good pitch. Still needs some refining for him. But overall, I thought Frankie was fine. You know, maybe he doesn't work so well against a stronger opponent, with all due respect to the Nationals, given they've traded Winker, they've traded Thomas. Abrams is going to be a star in this league. He made him pay with it, but it was quite the performance, I should say, for Frankie, given all the traffic behind him and not getting swing and miss, that he was able to navigate into the sixth inning and only allow three runs. But this is also the point where we shift and talk about the bullpen, because how great the bullpen was today was a massive story of today's game. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. We'll talk about the bullpen coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Don Catronio here. Brewers get the victory today. Back on track. Flying solo tonight here on WTMJ as the Brewers get the win. Let's talk a little bullpen before we really dive into the offense, because obviously scoring eight runs was a huge deal, but I feel like I'm going to easily glance over how great the bullpen was today, and maybe from some contributors that we haven't given enough credit to as of late. I want to start with Yoel Piamps. Piamps has obviously lost his eighth inning role to this point in the season, and he comes in with the Brewers leading after taking the lead in the top of the sixth inning, 5-3 at this point, and Montas allows the first two men to reach. So you're thinking, oh boy, what are you going to do? And he goes to Piamps, and Piamps hasn't inherited a ton of runners this year. He came into the game having only inherited eight on the year, but only two have scored, and he doesn't really put out fires. He kind of starts innings and ends innings, and I know he gave up a run against Miami on Saturday of last week. In the victory, or Sunday, I should say, in the victory over the Marlins. But aside from that one game, Yoel's been quietly solid over the last few times. I know he had that bad one against the Pirates, but, you know, since the All-Star break, he had only allowed that one run against Miami. And then furthermore, yes, he had the blow-up against the Pirates in which he allowed two home runs, including a hit batter. But since July 1st, he had only allowed four earned runs, including tonight. In fact, over his last 9 2/3 innings now, it's four earned runs, with three of them coming in one game. And that was the game that with the grand slam by Joey Bart and Colin Ray, didn't get out of the sixth, all that stuff. So I thought he did a really good job, especially given that was the last time he inherited danger, came in, and got the job done. Look, I don't think Yoel is going to be needed for the eighth inning anymore, but with what we saw from Elvis Figueroa on Wednesday, that, hey man, you're going to need to figure out how to put out fires here, because the Brewers are maybe a little bit challenged in the fireman department. They've got a lot of guys that can handle leverage innings, but it is a different breed to be able to handle inherited runners. It's not a snap your fingers and you're good. He inherited a runner on the 22nd at Wrigley, got out of that jam. The other time he had inherited a runner was when he allowed all of those runs to score on the 9th. That was Bryce Wilson that allowed all the runs to score against Pittsburgh, but then he allowed two home runs of his own, including one to Joey Bart back on July 9th. But Yoel hadn't inherited multiple runners on base since May 26th. In Fenway. That's how long ago it was for him. So I thought that was sneaky important for him to keep that on the rails. Another guy that's been sneaky important to this bullpen that we were kind of perplexed at how much weak contact he was getting earlier in the year and is still getting a lot of weak contact, getting burned by some bad luck, is Hobie Milner. Hobie has not allowed a run since the second half began, and he's had some bridge outings in there too, working multiple innings. I think of the Cubs series when he came in and threw 2 1/3 in a loss, keeping the bullpen fresh for the rest of that series that the Brewers eventually won. But you look at it, that's four, that's five, that's six, that's seven consecutive scoreless innings here in the second half with only four hits allowed. He has only walked four batters. He has struck out also six, seven, eight batters over these seven, eight innings that we were talking about. He's not a strikeout guy. So for Hobie to start to keep things moving in the right direction, I think is very, very important. Would I have liked to have seen Devin Williams today? Sure. But I also don't mind seeing Elvis Peguero get back on track with a clean ninth inning, three ground ball outs, exactly what he's supposed to do. You give another day for Devin. He'll likely be available win or lose tomorrow. They need to get him some work. Granted, they won't have him available for back-to-back, so that's why it would be nice to win tomorrow using Devin Williams and then try to win one more game on Sunday and go for a sweep before you head to Atlanta, given you have an off day coming up on Monday. So I thought the bullpen, sneaky important today, more than sneaky. I thought they were a big piece of today's win. They're a factor in my poll. I've got Yoel Piamps as a player of the game candidate. Tell me what you think. It's over on my Twitter at Dom_Cotroneo, Dom_Cotroneo. I've got Frankie Montas. I've got Blake Perkins. I've got Yoel Piamps. And I've got the always the write-in category as well. Blake Perkins is leading the way. We'll talk about why coming up next. But first, I want to remind you, Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Cotroneo, flying solo here tonight. Craig Kishon will be with us the rest of the weekend tomorrow. Brewers win 8-3. Got to talk about the offense, but first, shout out to Blake Snell. Blake Snell went from trade rumors to no-hitter. He just no-hit the Cincinnati Reds. 3-0, the Giants. They're now one game under 500. They're just kind of hanging around. They're not exactly lurking yet, but they're hanging around. So now the only two central teams that won today were the Brewers and the Cubs, and it helped out the Brewers and the Cubs won. But today's offense, 8 runs, super balanced offensive attack today, like we said. 1 through 4 all had hits. Bowers didn't have a hit, but he had 2 walks and a run scored and a heck of a slide. Then Hoskins had an RBI double. Frelick had a couple of hits, including a broken bat twice. Scored 3 runs today as well. Joey Ortiz didn't get a hit, but he drew 2 walks, also scored a run. His walk helped keep the inning alive in the 6th inning for Blake Perkins to set the stage. So the Brewers opened the scoring in the 2nd inning with, you know, the normal offense that we've seen all year long. And it always begins with a leadoff walk. And an aggressive send by Jason Lane, what else is new? But Reese Hoskins doubles the left field on the ball. That was kind of misplayed for a moment by James Wood, so I totally understood the send. But with Jake Bowers is a sneaky good base runner. I'm not saying he's fast, but I'm saying he's a sneaky good base runner. And Jason Lane decided to send him with nobody out and the bottom half of the order coming up. And he made a perfect slide to the very back corner of the plate. Kids, Little League coaches, watch that slide. That's exactly how you're supposed to do it. Give yourself as much space as possible to try to hit the plate. So he scores, sets the tone for the rest of the inning. A little blooper by Frelick turns into a double. It was really a single advance on a throw because the throw went to no one in particular. He had 2nd and 3rd, still nobody out. Ortiz grounded out, but then Mitchell comes through with a screaming liner to left center, nearly caught by Jacob Young. And 106 off the bat from Garrett. That was super important to see from him. So boom, you blink, it's 3-0 Brewers. But we fast forward. Really nice job by Jake Irvin to settle in at one point. He retired, I think it was 11 in a row at one point. And then in the 6th inning, things picked back up with a single by Adames, a ground out by Bowers, and then a fly out to center by Reese Hoskins. So Adames gets to 3rd on the fly out, though. They go to the lefty, Robert Garcia, to face the lefty, Frelick. And the decision was coming here for the Brewers. All right, when are you going to bring in Blake Perkins? Are you going to have him hit for Frelick, or are you going to have him hit for Mitchell? And the decision was hit for Mitchell. Mitchell is only 2-for-11 against lefties so far this year. They've been splitting time, him and Sal, getting lefties, and he can only pick one at a time. So this time, Sal got staying. He got hit by a pitch. Then Joey Ortiz took 4 straight pitches that were in the automated strike zone but were called balls. So it was a walk for him. It loads the bases for Blake Perkins, and with 2 strikes on him, He lines a single the other way. That was a massive moment for the Brewers to take the lead 5-3 at the time. That relentless offense that we saw earlier in the year. Very quietly, Blake Perkins, since the All-Star break, is 6 for his last 12 with a double and two walks. He also had that three RBIs today, up to three RBIs now. And furthermore, when he is pinch hitting, he's been solid. It hasn't been a big deal for him. He is now, including tonight, looking at it, he is now 4-for-6 as a pinch hitter this season. It's wild. So some guys just have a knack for it, and they're used to it, and it's no big deal. I thought that was a great call to bring in Blake, and he's now hitting a little better batting from the right-handed side. So when he's facing lefties, he's now hitting .288 when he's facing lefties. Doesn't slug. That's not his job on this team, but he's been putting the ball in play. He's got 23 hits against lefties this year, despite only having about half the plate appearances than he does against lefties than he does against righties. So Blake continues to be an unsung hero. There are so many unsung heroes on this club right now that you can look at up and down the lineup that have helped out the Crew. Another guy to shout out in this box score today is Perkins. Went 2-for-2. Adames rips a double. William Contreras. William goes 1-for-4. He just loves hitting on Apple TV. He hits another homer on Apple TV. So that's his 12th homer of the season. He had 17 last year with 38 doubles. And right now he's on virtually the same pace. He's 5 homers away and 12 doubles away with 53 games to go. He's hitting .281. His OPS is .786, which is a little lower than last year, but he didn't catch as frequently as he did last year. I mean, there's a very good chance he ends up playing north of 140 games behind the plate. He played in 141 games last season. He has played a ton, and it was really important to see him hit a homer. It was only his third homer since mid-June. When the Brewers need power, they had leaned on Reese. They had leaned on Yelly, and they like getting power from William, but they know it's tough for him to hit for power given how often he is catching. And it was his first hit since Saturday against the Marlins when he went 2-for-4 in the game, that one. And his first homer since last time the Brewers faced the Nationals, the last day of the first half, back on July 14th. If William's going to keep showing signs that he's hitting the ball hard and getting hot, multi-hit games against Miami last weekend. Didn't have a single hit against the Braves, but he was drawing walks, which is usually a good sign for William. Drew another walk today as well. William keeps doing the pace that he's doing. I'm excited to see what he can do the rest of the year, because a catcher that's hitting .280, that's got an on-base of .350, is always valuable. The slug is a cherry on top. I mean, you can live without the cherry or the whipped cream, but he has been phenomenal. Generally, it's like you pick one or the other. The on-base or the slugging when it comes to a catcher. And the fact that William is still flirting around a .450 slug with a .350 on base, that is a seriously valuable player. Brewers get the job done today. 8-3, the final score. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. This one from Tom in South Dakota. One theme that has been consistent all season long, this team just doesn't do extended slumps. Things feel different right now, as if the Brewers themselves are their only competition in the division. If they simply handle their business, the postseason awaits. I agree entirely. Tell that to your friends, Tom. That's what I'm trying to shout from the rooftops. The Brewers are in control of their fate. They can win one more game of these final six against the Cardinals. They take that season series. They win the final series, that three-game set in Pittsburgh coming up end of September. They win that season series. And who knows, they might take themselves out of contention on their own. Let's take a look at a little broader scope with the National League picture coming up next. Brewers win today 8-3 on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Tom Petronio here, flying solo here tonight. Game one of August goes to the way of the Brew Crew. 8-3, the final. 855-616-1620 if you're with us this evening. 855-616-1620. So I mentioned it earlier at the top. Brewers win, Cardinals lose, Pirates lose. All good news. But in case you haven't noticed, the National League is chaos right now. The Phillies lost again. They've lost four in a row. They've lost seven of their last ten. And it goes, they've lost now five consecutive series going back to the first half as well, and they're getting bludgeoned by the Mariners right now in Seattle. They're starting a three-city West Coast trip right now. Seattle just scored seven runs in the second inning off of Tyler Phillips, who just threw a complete game shutout last week. Welcome to the big leagues, kid. It is hard to pitch every single week. So the Phillies are likely going to drop that one. When the Phillies drop that game, and the Braves won tonight over the Marlins, it's something going to be a five-game lead there in the East. I don't know about you, but after watching the Braves this past week, they look like a team that's firing right now. They look like a team that's firing on all cylinders. Furthermore, they're going to get Michael Harris back. We don't know about Ozzie Albies, but their pitching's really, really good. And Raisel Iglesias has been incredible. So Atlanta is chasing Philly right now. They're going to be five games down by the end of the series, end of the night. And I'm just double-checking the schedule right now to see how the Braves have done this year against the Phillies for season standings purposes. Atlanta's 4-2 against Philly right now. So not only is there seven games still remaining head-to-head, so sign me up, get your popcorn ready, but Atlanta could win that season series, meaning all they would have to do is tie the Phillies, and they would get the East, which would force Philadelphia into the wild card round. But then it gets even more chaotic because the Dodgers, they're tied up 2-2 right now with the Oakland A's. And the Dodgers are good, but there's still uncertainty about Yoshinobu Yamamoto. If Clayton Kershaw is going to be throwing 89 the rest of the year, that certainly raises some alarm bells. Walker Buehler still hasn't returned to the team. He's probably due for one more rehab outing, but they've been kind of duct taped together to this point. They have Jack Flaherty, I know, but you just never know. So the Dodgers right now are 63-46, but just you wait. Look, don't look behind you. Objects in mirror are closer than they appear, because if LA loses that game, San Diego, by the way, they are playing Colorado at home. That game's early stages, 1-1, bottom four. Let's say San Diego wins that game. That would be their third win in a row. Arizona already won its fourth game in a row tonight. Those two teams would be only four games back of the Dodgers if the Dodgers lose and they both win. So all of a sudden, the Brewers have the largest lead in a division race here in the National League. And the last note on this is the fact that right now, depending on what happens, let's say the A's do the Brewers a favor. The A's have been raking by the way. If you haven't noticed, the Brewers see them in a couple of weeks. Let's say the A's pull it off against the Dodgers. All of a sudden, the Brewers are one game back of the second seed. This is going to be a real race down the stretch. Like, I'm fired up for it. I think this is going to be exactly what we were hoping for a couple of years ago when the expanded playoffs came about. And everyone's talking about there's going to be so much at stake between who's going to get the first two byes, who's going to face who. Because, I mean, that's just the division leaders. I haven't even mentioned the wild card race right now. The wild card race with Atlanta leading now by a game and a half, which is still not a lot. Just takes a bad week and all of a sudden you can be on the outside looking in. Atlanta's leading by a game and a half. Arizona and San Diego have the same record at 59-51. And then New York, the Mets that is, they're a game out of a wild card spot right now. It basically means if you don't win the Central anyway, if you don't win the Central, you're not getting in the postseason because St. Louis is three games back of a playoff spot right now. And this year, as opposed to other years, you have to be above 500 to make it into the postseason. Being a 500 team, 83 wins is not going to cut it probably. 85, 86 is what you're going to need to make the postseason, which now it should be, which I'm fired up for. And I'm excited to see what the rest of the year is going to be. It's going to be stressful. Keep your thumbs nearby. But I'm fired up because this is what we've been waiting for, where we're going to be scoreboard watching every night for the next 53 games. I'm a baseball sicko, and I hope you love it. All right, Brewers get the win today, 8-3. I want to talk team MVPs, talk a little bit about what we talked about yesterday on Brewers Weekly, talk about what to look forward to here for the crew as they win in the opener against the Nats on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a long-standing commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
WDTMJ's Eric Bilstead here. I absolutely love Wisconsin this time of year. It's absolutely heaven, especially on a lake, especially after a swim perhaps, or maybe even water skiing. But again, you know how that goes. You do something like that, then the joint pain really starts to act up. The knees really start to bark. And you know you want to take care of it, but you don't want surgery. Well, there is another way. QC Kinetics. There's exciting new cellular therapies that can get you lasting relief in your joints, and the place to go is QC Kinetics, using cutting-edge treatments, but no surgery, no drugs, and here's the best part, no downtime. You can get right back to work the day of your treatment. Call QC Kinetics today and find out what they can do for you. 414-285-3474. That's 414-285-3474. This is the future of medicine. Call QC Kinetics for your free consultation, 414-285-3474.
As the kiddos get ready to get back to school, you can find really great back-to-school savings at St. Vincent de Paul stores. School supplies and some surprisingly cool clothing, too. And teachers, you get an additional discount. Get the best back-to-school bargains at St. Vincent de Paul stores on Highway 100 in Layton and Greenfield, 23rd in Lincoln, and 76th in Bradley Road in Milwaukee.
Ooh, you're gonna love it, St. Vincent de Paul.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Don Petronio here. We've got a few more segments here on the show. No Pat Murphy today. We normally, you know, kind of behind baseball here. We normally grab it from Valley Sports Wisconsin, but obviously tonight's game was on Apple TV+. But I hope you listen to us here on WTMJ. So we'll get Pat Murphy again tomorrow as we look ahead to the rest of this series and some guys to look out for on the weekend. Tomorrow, start at 3:05. Our coverage will begin at 2 o'clock with Brewers warm-up. DJ Herz, a lefty, will get the ball for the Nats. Aaron Savali is going to get the ball for the Brew Crew. And it's been a little bit of both for Savali. Worked into the sixth inning his last time out. Would like to see him complete six innings. He's only done that once in a Brewers uniform in his four starts. Into the sixth, seven hits, two runs, both earned. No walks, which I thought was super encouraging. Furthermore, no homers, which I thought was super encouraging. But only three strikeouts against the Marlins. What can he do tomorrow against these pesky Nationals? So, for Savali, he's going to be super important down the stretch because of his ability to eat innings. And another thing that was revealed earlier today, pregame, by Pat Murphy, was the fact that D.L. Hall is going to make one more rehab outing, and they're going to keep him stretched out. Maybe not a hybrid role, which to me kind of signals a smoke flare of, okay, are the Brewers considering a six-man rotation? Or is there somebody tender right now that we don't know about? You know, is there something we still don't know? Because if you're going to bring D.L. Hall back as a starter, you need to keep him starting, right? He would be in the bullpen right now if the Brewers felt he was ready to help the team. Furthermore, I just feel like the crew is, I don't know if they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes right now with, like, what are they trying to do with Joe Ross? What are they trying to do with Tobias Myers? Now, Tobias obviously has options. As for the rest of this starting rotation, you're not going to option Freddie. You're not going to, you know, you just acquired Frankie Montas, so all this just feels a little odd. There must be something we don't know. And plus, the Brewers, they have a lot of off days coming up here in the month of August. They actually have three off days pretty regularly on Mondays here in August. So they had yesterday off, Monday again next week. Then they're going to play 13 in a row, but 10 of those are at home, so super easy travel. Then, off day, you go to St. Louis. It's an hour flight for these guys. You go to Oakland, off day when you come back home, and then it's crunch time. You get both San Francisco and Cincinnati, home for San Francisco for four. Then you go back to Cincinnati for 4 and 3 days. Then you come back home for St. Louis, home for Colorado, off days in there. So it's like, there's not a need for a six-man rotation right now unless there's something we don't know. So that's just a little bit of looking ahead. As far as a key contributor, we talked about this in yesterday's Brewers Weekly. Pretty much everyone was unanimous on Jackson Chourio being the team MVP, but there was sort of split on who's going to be a bigger impact, Colin Ray or Tobias Myers, over this last two-month stretch. The Crew finally has options in their starting rotation, which is really encouraging. The fact that you can bring back D.L. Hall, and he's been pitching better as of late since that forearm contusion. I'm excited to see D.L. Hall in the big leagues. I really am, because it has been so long. We haven't seen him since May. So I'm really excited to see D.L. I mean, I haven't even seen him in the clubhouse since May, because he's been on rehab. And I'm sure he wants to get back to the big leagues, if you catch my drift. I'm circling D.L. Hall, just like monitor him. Because he's going to make one more outing, likely on Tuesday or Wednesday, with Nashville, which would line him up to return potentially either against the Dodgers or the Guardians the following week when the Brewers are back at home. I'm really intrigued to see what the Brewers do, because I still am a believer in D.L. Hall. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Corbin Burns was statistically the worst pitcher in baseball in 2019, and look what he became. The Brewers are going to be patient with D.L. Hall. There's no reason not to be patient with D.L. Hall. And he was not a great pitcher the first month of the season. Maybe this can get him on track. Up next, going to play some highlights. Enjoy this contest. The Brewers winning 8-3 with some offense. That's coming up next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Nationals, the last season series of these two, this weekend set from Nationals Park in our capital, as Frankie Montas making his Brewers debut, acquired from the Reds at the trade deadline. It started off with a flourish.
Here's the 2-2. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Fastball down and away at 98 from Frankie Montas. A couple of ortho ASAP strikeouts in a scoreless bottom of the first.
Lane Grindle's call. Now, the offense started to get going in the second inning. A leadoff walk always seems to start rallies. Bowers gets the leadoff walk. Reese Hoskins to follow.
2-2 is lined out toward left. Wood breaking back on it. It's over his head, and one hops the wall. Bowers off to the races. He's being waved around third by Jason Lane. Here comes the throw to the plate. It's a good one, and they did not get him. Bowers got around the tag by Ruiz. Hoskins to second. It's 1-0 Milwaukee.
The hesitation, because the throw actually beat him there. He made a great slide to the back corner. The Nationals did not challenge. Great call by C.B. Buckner. So the Brewers lead 1-0. They weren't done in the inning. A couple of batters later, with two men aboard and only one out, Garrett Mitchell had a chance to join the party.
2-0 pitch. And a solid line drive into left center field. Diving is Young. He won't get there. He deflects it away from him over by Wood. Hoskins is in. Frelick around third. He will score. Mitchell cruises into second with a two-run double. It is 3-0 Milwaukee.
Great stuff from the Crew. However, the Nationals would chip away. A two-run homer from C.J. Abrams later would make it a one-run game, and then a manufactured run with a single, a stolen base, a ground out, and then ultimately a two-out single tied the game at 3 through 5 innings. At the top of the 6th, the Brewers formed another rally, which was exactly what they needed. The Crew got things going with the bottom half of their order. Willy Adames started things off with a clean single the opposite way with two strikes. But then a ground out by Jake Bowers. The only play was the first. Man on second and one out. Reese Hoskins would fly out to deep center. That would allow Adames to get to third. So man on third, two outs. They go for the left on left. Sal Frelick gets hit by a pitch. Joey Ortiz draws a walk. And next up, the Brewers decided to go to their bench, bring in Blake Perkins, the switch hitter, to pinch hit against the lefty.
0-2. And a liner through the right side and into right field for a base hit. Adames is in. Frelick racing around third. He will score. On his way to third is Ortiz. Blake Perkins, a pinch hit, two-run single, gives the Brewers a 5-3 lead in the 6th.
Fun moment there. But now all that's missing is the big swing, the cherry on top, the big one. William Contreras oblige.
Lead will be at least 2. 1-1 pitch is drilled deep in the center field. Oh, that one was crushed. Back goes Young. Warning track wall. See you later. William Contreras pulverizes it out to dead center. The Brewers have the lead back up to 3 runs. It's a 6-3 game in the 7th inning.
Josh Maurer's call here on WTMJ. Hey, I hope the check is in the mail to Bob Carpenter with our friends at Masson. But hey, Brewers take the lead there, 6-3. They weren't done. A sacrifice fly a little bit later by Bryce Terang. And the one guy that hadn't got on base yet, Jackson Churio in the eighth.
First pitch to Churio is a ground ball through the left side into left field for a base hit. Ortiz being waved around third. He's headed home. He will score. And Jackson Churio delivers with an RBI single. It's 8-3 Milwaukee.
Brewers get the victory by that final score. The bullpen was fantastic. Yoel Piamps, Hobie Milner, Jared Koenig, and Elvis Piguero all combined to keep a zero in their innings against the Nationals. Frankie Montas gets a win in his Brewers debut, and the crew wins by a final of 8-3. We'll talk about the rest of the schedule, look around the out-of-town scoreboard as we wrap up the program after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Inning. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes here on the program. Once again, we're live at 2 o'clock tomorrow here on WTMJ. I've got you for Brewers warm-up. First pitch is scheduled for 3:05 Central Time. Again, the big news out of Major League Baseball today, looking at the out-of-town scoreboard, Blake Snell. Not only is it his first complete game, it's a no-hitter. Second no-hitter in the last week or so, as he no-hits the Cincinnati Reds, 114 pitches to do it. The Giants win by a 3-0 final. We already mentioned the Cardinals losing 6-3 and the Pirates losing 9-8. But the Royals continue to play some great baseball. They beat the Tigers 9-2 today. The Guardians beat the Orioles 8-4. The Guardians, don't look now, the Guardians have the best record in baseball, y'all. The Guardians are 67-42, and they're coming to town next weekend for the Brew Crew here back at home coming up, or I should say in 2 weekends. It's Reds next weekend, Dodgers, and then the Guardians. Another final across the wire, the Astros. Yusei Kikuchi at one point struck out 8 consecutive batters as the Astros beat the Rays 3-2. And yes, a quick update on the White Sox. They have indeed lost their 18th game in a row. They lost to the Twins. The White Sox have 27 wins, you guys. 27! I don't see it getting better anytime soon. Okay, again, tomorrow, Aaron Civale gets the ball for the crew as the Brewers will get things going at 3:05. And then finally at 12:30 on Sunday, Tobias Myers will get the ball to finish up the series. Brewers facing back-to-back lefties. This week, it'll be Mitchell Parker on Sunday, and tomorrow, DJ Hertz. That's going to do it for me. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and tell your friends about the podcast, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your pods. For our producer, Nate Rilling, I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.